Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
No, but are you ready for the word today?
Yeah.
I want you to help me out because what I feel the Lord wants to bring today is something that's like a real deep conviction of mine. And it's fully undergirded by the word, but so much of it has been through experiencing it with the Holy Spirit, encountering with God. And so it's hard to teach out an experiential thing, but I trust the Lord's going to minister today. And that's what a lot of this season is about, really. You know, we're going to preach and teach and talk about the Lord, but in the end, we need to encounter Him. That's why the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. These are experiential words. Amen. But why don't we jump in? We got a big passage of text. Here we go. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Then Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" He said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh and I'm the youngest in my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you and you shall defeat Midian as one man." So Gideon said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you." And he said, "I will remain until you return." You see, he doesn't know if it's just a guy or if it's actually God, right? Then Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. He put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, sorry for those of you that are fasting, and brought them out to him under the oak and presented them. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." The Lord said to him, "Peace to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it Yahweh Shalom, or the Lord is peace. Come on, pray with me. Father God, we thank you that you're already here. Thank you for the ministry that you've already begun. Thank you for what you did in each of us as we beheld of you again, the finished work on the cross. And Lord, we are ready for you to come and to minister and to move. God, as we come under your word, Lord, where we've believed untruths, bring us in a truth, Father God. Where we've held onto the things of this world, Lord, we let go and we choose you. Come and minister today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Mr. Ian. In November 2020, my family and I, we were traveling to Perth from Phnom Penh in this small divine window of opportunity where West Australia's borders opened for about 2 weeks. And we just got out of hotel quarantine, 2 weeks in a single room with my wife and a toddler. And we get out, and I get this call from Pastor Somali. Let me just reiterate, I was still the campus pastor at that time of Phnom Penh. We just come back for a rest here in Perth. And she calls me, and she says, this is what I've heard, but I can't confirm. And it's a situation with one of my senior staff, and it's bad. It's bad. Like, if it's true, it could shake up the whole church. Plus, we're in the midst of doing church online through COVID. Now, I'm here in Perth with zero way to get back there. I was pretty weary from the year that had been, that first COVID year, doing church over there. And I remember in that moment, it felt like my peace just packed up and walked out of the room. It just left. And my chest began to pound, and my breathing quickened, and I tensed up, and this anxiety just began to overwhelm me. And what if this is true? Like, I can't leave this all on Somali and the team there to fix it. Like, I'm stuck here, but this is my responsibility. Like, what about that staff member's family? What do we tell the church? This is going to fall apart and I'm not there. And that, you know, that deep sense of being so out of control? Like, I could do nothing about this. Has anyone ever felt that before? Yeah. And I remember beginning to pray, to take a hold of that scripture in Philippians that says, don't be anxious about anything, but through prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So I started to pray, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed until I felt, I guess, a sense of peace return. And you know, I've ministered the peace of God many a time over people. I've seen just the shalom cover people and completely shift things. But in this moment, I wasn't living in it. And I had to realize that I had a certain level of belief in Jesus as my peace, as Lord over all, but it wasn't a deep enough conviction to hold me in this storm. And I'm very aware of the fact that what you believe determines what you believe for. So a weak belief in who God is will lead to a weak belief in what God can do in your life. Believe in is the foundation for belief for, right? And we're coming into this season of believing for what we want to see God do, what we want to see Him do in our conference. And that's really what this season of fasting will do for us. As we seek God, that lifts our faith to believe for what He will do, because we're becoming more intimately aware of who He is. You know, we're going to see some incredible miracles break out in our time together at conference. And the Bible says, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And God is bringing us back to who He says He is. He is healer. He is Almighty God. He is the God that makes the impossible possible. And we're going to see it, amen. We're going to live in it, amen. But bring it back. I just shared with you a situation where I battled anxiety and fear and was without peace. And we're in a culture that is searching for calm and peace. All the while, though, anxiety rates in our nation are through the roof. You know, anxiety, stress, fear, they're running rife through our kids, through our workplaces, affecting really almost every sphere of society. And the world is trying really hard to medicate this. There's countless mindfulness and meditation apps. You know, you play this music so you can sleep, or there's noise canceling headphones. There's, you know, there's endless self-help reels on socials. You go to a nice beach in Asia and it's scattered with resorts that are getting fancier and fancier, just trying to give you that escape and that rest you so desire. And now we're not immune to this as believers. You know, we can sing, it is well with my... But inside you're like, no, it's not. But inside you're like, no, it's not. No, it's not. It feels like hell is breaking loose, right? And we're trying to have that wrestle. Just calm down, everybody. Jeepers. I'm trying to preach. This is serious. You felt just the presence of God just sweep through for a second there. We have moments or times of perceived peace, but if circumstances go beyond our comfort or control, anxiety, frustration, stress is often where we find ourselves. Now, the reality is if peace depends on a circumstance or an environment that I can create around me, we'll never have it. But what if peace depends on a person? What if peace can be our portion? It can be our address. And so I want to ask you this question today, and it's the title of my message. Do you want a peace? Turn to the person next to you and say, do you want a peace? Do you want a peace? And so I want to unpack three layers of this peace, and then we're going to see the Holy Spirit minister His peace in this place, and He's going to break off fear and torment. He's going to break off sleeplessness. We're going to step into shalom. Amen? Amen? So we read that scripture in Judges 6 of Gideon being called, and some of you thought, oh, this is going to be one of those messages on identity, or like, oh, the call of God, rise up, mighty warrior. But as I looked at this text, I discovered this is where the Lord first reveals Himself as Yahweh Shalom. It's that first mention. And you see, Gideon is terrified. He's threshing wheat in a wine press. You're supposed to do that in an open field, right? The Midianites come and raid whenever they like. Israel is oppressed. They've got nothing. They're nobody. And even in his own family, he's a nobody. He's hiding. He's fearful. And he feels forgotten by God. And in that space, the angel of the Lord appears and calls him to save Israel. And in his objections and uncertainty, he says, I'm not sure this is you, God. I don't feel mighty. I think we've all been there. And in his doubt, he says, okay, well, let me prepare a meal for you and see what you do. And fire comes out of the rock. And then Gideon freaks out further because he's like, oh, it really is the Lord of hosts. This is Almighty God. And so at this point, he's afraid of God. He's afraid of the Midianites and his own inadequacy. And then the angel says this, peace to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. And Gideon then builds an altar there to the Lord and names it Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. Yahweh Shalom. We translate Shalom to that word peace, but it really, it doesn't capture the full depth or meaning of the Hebrew word. Some of you just send the kids outside and you're like, ah, some peace. Or you walk by a garden, you feel, oh, this is peaceful, right? But Shalom is talking about a deep sense of God's peace, of wholeness, of fullness, of restoration and completeness. It's a soul level stillness in the midst of chaos. If I could put it colloquially, I'd say it means all is well. It's all good. It's all good. You see, in that moment with Gideon, the Lord ministers his peace to a point where Gideon is marked by it and he makes this altar. And it wasn't a victory monument, but it was a memorial of revelation, right? He names it Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace because he now understands this is who Yahweh is. He's revealed himself to me as peace, as Shalom. But here's the thing. Had Gideon raised an army yet? No. Had Gideon defeated the Midianites? No. They could raid any moment. Had his circumstances changed? No. The battle was still ahead. But Gideon walked away from that moment anchored because peace didn't come from his circumstances changing. It came from encountering God. It came from encountering God, his peace. Peace came before any victory. And that's what I want to submit to you today. Point number one, in the Lord, we have peace in the pressure. We have peace in the pressure. Peace is not the absence of pressure or conflict. It's the presence of a person with a capital P. What circumstances are you in right now that's placing pressure on you? Are you walking in his peace? Do you believe that he is peace? Or do you need to encounter him as your peace again today? Do you want a peace? When this revelation becomes a conviction in us, it shapes our expectations. So you expect to walk in peace regardless of the situation around you. He is Yahweh Shalom. So you expect and walk in peace regardless of what your finances look like, regardless of your health, regardless of your family. He is our peace in the pressure. Do you want a peace? Now, fast forward centuries later to the eve of Jesus being hung on the cross. Jesus is about to leave the disciples and he isn't handing out coping strategies. Okay, hey, I'm going to go. And so when things get hectic, I need you to breathe and then breathe out and like hope that they don't find you and kill you and just like good luck, okay? No, he hands out a gift to them and it's our inheritance, right? John 14:27. This scripture is going to change your life. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Amen. The Lord is our peace in the pressure. And number two, peace is our inheritance. Peace is our inheritance. From he says, hey, I'm going, I'm dying, but this is my gift to you. I'm leaving it with you. Look at this scripture. It's going to change your life. First, he says, my peace I leave with you. He's leaving it with you. It's not momentary, it's not temporary, it's not like a library book where you can have it for a couple weeks and then you need to give it back. No, he's not going to take it back. He's left it with you. It's yours. You don't have to strive for it. It's your inheritance. And then he says, my peace I give to you. Think about that, his peace. Read the Gospels. Look at the peace that he walks in. He was never rattled. He was never rushed. He was never scared. He was never agitated. He was never insecure. It was a peace that carried him through conflict, through death threats, through attempted stonings, through crowd-sized demands, through betrayal, rejection, and now the cross. Imagine when the religious rulers were accusing him, when they put him on trial, now throwing all this stuff at him. He just stood there in silence, didn't try to justify himself, didn't try to argue. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but that's not actually it. Like, he was completely at peace. That is the quality, that is the depth of the peace he is giving to you and I. My peace I give you. And then he says it's not as the world can give. This peace is not as the world can give. No self-help routine can manufacture shalom, this kind of peace. Shalom cannot be bought through worldly practices. And it's not circumstantial. It's not what the world sets up around. It is not circumstantial. He leaves it with you. It's his peace he gives you. And it's not as the world can give. Man, that's what I want. I receive that. That's our inheritance. You know, I felt a void of peace when I got that call from Pastor Somali because it was out of my control. And that's the deception that we fall into. If I can feel in control, I will feel a sense of peace. And the world tries to offer peace through a sense of control. But Jesus offers peace through connection through his Holy Spirit. The Lord says, I am your peace. Do you want a peace? Because he's leaving it with you by his Spirit. You say, I don't have time to go through it, but when Jesus gives this gift of peace, that passage I just read, it's right in the middle of Jesus explaining how he is leaving, but he's leaving the Holy Spirit with us. He's going to give the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the continuation of his peace in us. Let me take this deeper. In Mark chapter 4, we read the account of Jesus and his disciples in the storm. These are experienced fishermen freaking out as the boat takes on water. And where is Jesus? He's asleep on a cushion in the stern. He's not ignoring them. He's not being careless, but he's completely at rest in the chaos. Shalom. Do you want a peace? Now, what kind of peace sleeps through a storm? It's the very same peace Jesus just said in John 14, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving that to you. It's not peace after the storm, but it's peace in the storm. It's not peace once you figure it out, but peace because he's in your boat. The peace Jesus gives doesn't deny the storm. It just knows the storm doesn't get the final word. Doesn't deny the storm. It just knows that the storm doesn't give the final word. Jesus was asleep in the storm because he carries that peace. He is that peace. And then they wake him. He rebukes the storm. And what does he say? Peace. Be still. He releases it. He releases his peace. Jesus speaks peace to the storm. He releases it and then he rebukes the disciples for not walking in it. He's releasing this peace to us. It's our inheritance. Amen. Now, when we recognize this is the peace he gives us as his inheritance, when we understand the fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace, that the mind governed by the Holy Spirit is life and peace, that the very kingdom of God is peace in the Holy Spirit, we don't just carry it like Jesus, but we release it too. We can release it too. How many opportunities have we missed to release peace over others, to minister peace over others because we weren't walking in it ourselves? Now, maybe you were so busy fretting over your image that you missed an opportunity to speak life and minister peace to a struggling friend. That's an example. Lest we forget, this passage I just read, when Jesus gets into the boat, he says, we're going to the other side. Then when they get to the other side, after this storm issue, they set a demon-possessed man completely free. Completely free. Where you thought you were drowning, he was taking you to the other side. Right? He was taking you into destiny and purpose and freedom. That's the power of his peace. It carries you to the other side. It carries you in the storms. It carries you when there's stuff going on. God's given me a word and he is peace, so I'm going to the other side. That's what he's giving you. That's who he is, Yahweh Shalom. Do you want a peace? Here's the crazy thing. When that demon-possessed man got set free, the demons were cast into the pigs. They ran off a cliff and died. And the herdsman responsible for the pigs didn't praise God for the man had been set free. Wow, what did we just see? They went and complained to the townsfolk who then drove out Jesus. Had they had a conviction of Yahweh Shalom, they wouldn't have been so rattled by the loss of their source of income that they could not see the miracle the Lord had just done right in front of them. Their peace was so tied up in their circumstances, they missed the Messiah was right in front of them. Where is your lack of revelation of His peace causing you to miss what the Lord is doing right in front of you? His peace is our inheritance. It's our peace in the pressure. And thirdly, it's a peace that restores. It's a peace that restores. We're going to fast forward to John chapter 20. Jesus has just risen from the dead. The disciples, though, they're in lockdown mode. The doors are shut, they're locked, they're scared of the Jews, fear is raging, failure is still fresh from deserting Jesus, and then out of nowhere, Jesus appears in the room. I feel like I've had that kind of encounter many a time. I'm caught up in fear and anxiety or whatever's going on, and Jesus just shows up. And what are His first words? He says, "Peace be with you." Not once He says it, not twice, but three times. He says it once to their fear, He says it once to their calling, and He says it once to their doubt and unbelief. So first, He speaks peace to their fear. He says, "Peace be with you." It's the first thing He says because they are panicking, they're worried. In other words, you're not disqualified. I'm still here. You haven't messed this up. Peace is your portion. Then He recommissions them. He says, "As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Peace be with you." So He speaks peace to your calling. All I've been preparing you for, that is still the plan. That is still the plan. My peace is on that. And then He returns later for Thomas, who's still doubting, and He says it again, "Peace be with you, peace even to your unbelief." That's where He meets us, where we're at. You know, He says it three times. That number three in Scripture speaks of completeness. Jesus isn't just greeting them. You know, it's not, "Oh, shalom, what's up, guys?" No, He's coming to minister the peace. He's restoring them, and He's doing it with His peace. And the peace He brings, it has nail scars. It walks through locked doors. It speaks right into failure, fear, and doubt, and it calls you into purpose again. That's the kind of peace we're talking about today. Resurrected peace. Yahweh Shalom. In the Lord, we have peace that restores. So what do we do with all this? Yahweh Shalom revealed in Judges, Jesus giving His peace in John, sleeping in storms in Mark, restoring His disciples in John 20. Well, here's the truth. You don't need to chase peace. You already carry it. Do you want a peace? Because it's yours. It's your inheritance, and it's no respecter of your circumstance. If Christ lives in you, if His Spirit dwells in you, then peace is not something you visit. Peace is your permanent residence. So now believe. Believe. And then what do? You exercise that belief. You decide to encounter His peace. You decide to walk in His peace. You decide to allow His peace to tangibly minister to you, just like Gideon experienced. To believe and walk in what you carry, to unwrap this inheritance you've been given, you need to encounter His peace, to allow His peace to restore. And when He does, you'll be saying, "Wow, Lord, You are my peace. Man, where I thought I was defeated, incapable, insignificant, inadequate, under-resourced, under threat, Your peace ministers to me and calls me out. And all is well. All is good." That's the peace that He has for us. You know, I shared about the phone call that I got from Pastor Somali. And in the end, it wasn't true. It was misunderstood things. It wasn't true. And I didn't have a crisis to figure out, praise God. But isn't that so often the case? Our fear creates a wild narrative. But from there, the Lord then led me, and I went on this journey of seeking Him each day, mostly on a jetty in Wilson. And the Lord took me on this journey of knowing Him as my peace, knowing He's given it to me in the gift of His Holy Spirit. And so then when the Lord said, you know, in the midst of COVID, we're back here for a rest, He says, "No, you're not going back. to Phnom Penh. I want you to instantly hand over this campus that you've given the last 5.5 years of your life to. Just give it. Give it to Somali. I could do it. Because His peace had enabled me to know that no matter what happens, whether it looks ideal or not, handing over a campus via video in the midst of a pandemic is not an ideal way to do a transition. Whatever pressures come, and they did on both sides, His peace is on me. His peace is on that campus. It's on my family. And so I can let go. Some of you need an encounter with His peace today so you can let go. Let go of what you've been holding on to. It's robbing you of your inheritance, this peace. It's robbing you of your calling and the restoration that He has for you. It's robbed you of sleepful nights. It's robbed you of a mind of clarity and calm. He is Yahweh Shalom. His peace, He is giving it to you. He is leaving it with you. His peace is here to restore. Do you want a peace today? Because it's your inheritance, even in the pressure. And His Shalom is going to restore you out of fear, out of failure, out of doubt, and into calling.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.